My guest says he was so fearful, he literally shook 24 hours a day and could only sleep 1 hour a night for 3.5 years. Next on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there should be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet, the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe only on It's Supernatural.
Sid Roth, an investigative reporter. It's hard to believe. How can an intelligent family man, a manager doing well in his business, a Christian, loves the Lord, how does he just suddenly start shaking with fear and it just doesn't stop every day? I mean, were you really shaking, or just what were you doing, Chris Valentin?
I shook so bad I couldn't get a glass of water to my face without holding it with two hands. I just trembled like an alcoholic, but I never drank a day in my life.
How did it start?
One night I came home from work, got in the bathtub. When I went to get out of the bathtub, my heart started pounding. Mm-hmm. I started shaking all over. I yelled for my wife. She came in the bathroom. She tried to help me out of the tub. I shook so bad I had no strength in my legs or any of my limbs, and that lasted 3.5 years.
But how do you survive on such limited sleep?
Oh, it was terrible. I would get in the bed at night, and I was just trembling all the time, kind of like an Irish setter. I would just tremble all the time. I'd get in bed at night, and I would sweat profusely, so bad that my wife would have to get up in the middle of the night. The sweat would finally cover her side of the bed. It'd wake her up in the middle of the night. She'd get up 2 and 3 times a night and just change the sheets because I trembled so bad. And you know how just loony you get when you haven't slept. And I went like that for 3.5 years.
Did you take any legal drugs for this?
We called the doctor that night. It was, of course, late at night, mm-hmm. probably 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. We called our family doctor, and he said, oh, it sounds like he's had an anxiety attack. And he told my wife, he said, go get him some alcohol. It'll calm him down.
Did you drink much?
I never drank. I took a drink from my grandfather's beer when I was probably 8, 9 years old. Never took drugs, never touched drugs, never smoked, never did dope, nothing. So we went out, we got, all we could find was wine so late at night. Got a bottle of wine. I drank half the bottle of wine. All it did is make me sick. I still shook. Went the next day to the doctor, and he prescribed some tranquilizers. I took those one time. And they slowed me way down, but my shaking still continued, and they really depressed me. So I carried them with me everywhere. In fact, I carried those pills in my pocket for 3.5 years.
The pills depressed you?
Oh, totally. They took me to depression, and just slowed the trembling down. I carried them with me.
I mean, how could this happen to you? Everything's going fine, and you become a mess in every area of your life.
You know what happened? I'll tell you. When I was in the bathtub, I had a thought. Now, this sounds crazy, but I had a thought, and I don't know if anyone's ever had this happen to him. I had a thought that I was going to die. It was stronger than a thought, you know. It was like it was like an obsession. Never had that before.
It's kind of interesting. You told me that your dad died at a young age.
My dad, 6 months before he died, every night he would wake up and tell my mom, I know I'm going to die. I know I'm going to die. I know I'm going to die. And my dad drowned when I was 3 years old. My dad was a phys ed teacher. My dad played for UC Berkeley, played football for UC Berkeley, got drafted by the pros, but chose to finish his degree, went into teaching, taught phys ed, and drowned as a phys ed teacher in Anderson Dam, which is like drowning in a 10 times an Olympic-sized pool. Hmm. Yeah, exactly how exactly 6 months after you started waking up,
so,
things and died.
So you just started getting this thought, and then this fear came all over you. So you thought if you went to a small city, maybe things would slow down the pace and everything be okay. How'd it work out?
Yeah, I was living in San Jose, California. We, you know, everything was, of course, the Bay Area is just busy, big city. I was managing a repair shop, 13 guys working for me. And I thought, well, my problem is that I'm under all this stress. Mm-hmm. So I moved to a town called Lewiston, California, 800 people in the Trinity Alps. And what happened was, instead of it getting better, it got worse. When everything around me slowed down, Sid, all it did is magnify what was happening inside of me. And when I got there, when I got to Lewiston, California, I started having visitations from demons.
What do you mean by visitations?
I mean demons would actually come in my room. I would see them physically. They would come in my room. They would lay on my chest at night, and I couldn't move. I would be totally incapacitated. I would be like paralyzed from the neck down, and I would be trying to scream and not able to talk. My wife would lean over, and when she'd see me struggling, she'd say, "In the name of Jesus, get off of him." And all of a sudden, I could literally feel it get off of me. They would move pictures in my room. They would move objects in my room. I mean, this was real.
Now, how did your wife put up with this? I mean, it was how did you put up with it, but how did your wife put up with this?
My wife was amazing. She just kept saying, "You're going to get well. You're going to get well. You're going to be fine." You know, it's interesting. My wife, I met my wife when she was 12 years old. We got engaged when she was 13.
You got engaged at 13?
We got engaged at 13.
Oh, my goodness.
She waited 5 years. We waited 5 years to get married. We were married 1 year. She was pregnant with our first child, and I had a nervous breakdown. Mm. It's just incredible.
So how did you get out of this trap? I mean, it sounds like something you watch on TV. It doesn't happen in real life.
I prayed every day for the Lord to take me home. I received the Lord at 18, Sid. I was a Christian. And in the paradigm that I had been taught in, Christians couldn't be demonized. So I had an incredibly bad problem. One, I had a problem with demons visiting me. I'd been taught that Christians couldn't be demonized. And so I figured I was mentally ill. I had the worst thoughts. I would have actually visions in my mind 40, 50, 60 times a day of murdering my wife, molesting my children, doing terrible, I'm playing it down, doing terrible, bizarre things. It would happen. I would have anxiety attacks. I would break out in sweat. This is 30, 40 times a day. I'd break out in sweat. I would soak my shirt, soak my pants just from anxiety attacks. I got so fearful. I got claustrophobia so bad that we would be driving down the street in the winter, and I'd have to have all the windows down in my car. My friends would come to my house. Then I'd go lock myself in the room, and I'd tell my wife, "Get rid of them. Get rid of them."
So you can relate, and I can relate now from what you're saying to me about these mass murderers, these people that
totally.
Go berserk, because here you are, a normal family person, everything fine, a Christian, and you're getting all of these thoughts. I guess the human mind can only take so much.
It was incredible. One night, I'm in Lewiston, California. There's almost no radio in Lewiston, California. All you just mostly get static. Mm-hmm. I couldn't sleep, which was my pattern. I'd get up in the middle of the night, I'd pace the floor. I laid by the stereo. I turned on the stereo in our house. And I laid there, and all I could hear was static, but there was a speaker on there. And he was saying something about fear, which kind of caught my attention. So I'm laying on the floor, and I'm laying by the speaker, put my head right on the speaker, and he quotes a scripture out of 1 Timothy. He says, "God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind." Now,
hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment. That one sentence from the Bible changed his destiny. Be right back after this.
YouTube, Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. It's unbelievable. This Chris Vallotton, I mean, shaking 24 hours a day, not able to sleep more than an hour or so every night. I mean, how long can this go on? And one day, he just threw static. He picked something up on the radio. He'd probably never find it again if he tried. And it's this announcer said...
He said, "God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind." When he said the spirit of fear, All of a sudden, it was like a revelation, like somebody pulled the covers back in heaven and said, you have a spirit of fear. And all of a sudden, I don't know how it happened. It was like someone was talking to me, but it was happening inside my mind. It was like the Lord said to me, the thoughts you're having are not your own. You know, I was telling you about the visions and all the destructive thoughts I was having.
Right.
The Lord said, the thoughts you're having are not your own.
That's important to realize. That's
incredible.
All thoughts that we have are not our own.
That's right. That's right. And the Lord, and of course, later on, the Lord began to teach me that our thoughts come from four sources. Our spirit, because we have a spirit. We're a spirit that has a soul, that has a body. The Holy Spirit, which is God's spirit. Evil spirits, which I was being troubled with. And angels, which are spirits in God's realm. And so, but of course, I didn't hear that then. But I heard the Lord say, these thoughts that you're having are not yours. They are not your thoughts. Well, that was the first time I ever felt like I'm not mentally ill. I'm under siege. I'm under attack. I'm oppressed by the enemy. And the Lord began to tell me that. And then he said, but I've given you a sound mind. Remember, I thought I was crazy. I thought I was going crazy. So that night, I asked the Lord, what am I to do? And the Lord said to me, you confess that this fear is not from me and that it's not part of your spirit, and you rebuke it. I did that. It left. Just like that, it left. And I'm
just like what? That after all this
why
time?
Why didn't I do that 3.5 years ago?
Yeah, why didn't you?
I didn't know. My people perished for a lack of knowledge. I did not know. I
mean, it sounds too easy, Chris.
Well, let me tell you what happened. The next night, I'm coming home from work, and I'm like, I've had a whole day of peace, right? I have not had a day of peace in 3.5 years. The shaking stopped. My heart's not pounding. The sweats are gone. And I'm like, this is too cool. And I said, I'm driving home on a dark road, no street lights. We're living in the Trinity Alps in the mountains. And I said out loud, I said, I'm going to tell everybody about this. I'm going to tell everybody you are a liar and your power is coming out of illusion. And a voice came to me. And he said, if you tell anyone what's happened to you, I will kill you. And I started shaking, sweating. All the symptoms came back. I pulled over. I couldn't drive. I pulled over on the side of the road. And I'm just trembling again, all over again. I'm like, back to square one. And all of a sudden, this little, tiny, small voice inside of me said this. Does the devil hate you? I said, yeah, he hates me. He said, how come he didn't kill you when you received me? I said, I don't know. He said, because he can't. His power is an illusion, and he's a liar, and he's the father of lies, and he's controlling you through his lying, but he has no power to do anything he tells you he's going to do. And I said, you're a liar. You get out of my life right now. The shaking stopped. Peace came over me, and it was the beginning of the new day.
It sounds too good to be true, Chris.
It's the truth.
It sounds so easy.
It was a war, but it's the truth.
I'm saying the way you got free, to just come to the senses that it was an illusion, that it wasn't you, it was a demon, and then to command it to go, and it left.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Jesus said this. He said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will free you. That word truth in the Greek is where we get our word reality from. A lot of us live in a virtual reality. We're living in a virtual reality. It feels real. It looks real. You know how the enemy sets up a smokescreen around us. It feels real. It looks real. He keeps us controlled by that spirit, but it's not real. He keeps us controlled by a lie. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth, the reality, that Jesus, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The truth will free you.
So, I mean, some wonderful things happened to you and your family. You became the pastor of a church, and one day you're driving a van with a bunch of the children. How many children were in the van?
Eight children.
Eight children, and someone started acting crazy.
We're coming home from Santa Cruz, California, taking the kids on their eighth grade trip, a small school, all eighth graders, five girls in a van, three boys. We're coming home in this 12 passenger van. This guy pulls up next to me in a white Chevy pickup, and he says, pull over, pull over. I thought we had a flat tire. I start to pull over. And he pulls right up next to me. And when I looked over at him, his eyes were glowing red. Glowing red. Now, I had seen those eyes before. I had seen those.
Where?
demons, when they used to visit me, they would be, their eyes would be glowing red. So I looked over at him and I said, I'm not going to pull over. Just then, I pulled back on the freeway and he's telling me, get over, get over. Just then, the Lord spoke to me and he said, there will be no loss of life and nobody will be harmed in this van. And this peace just came over me. Unexplainable. Just incredible peace came over me. And the guy pulls up next to me again. He says, pull over. And I smiled at him, thank you very much. And I waved him on. And then he just ran us right off the road, into the right into the gravel. And we're driving along 60 miles an hour in the gravel. And he pulls over, he just cuts right in front of us. And I stop, and he starts to get out of his car, and I take off around him. And that started a chase that lasted about 45 minutes to an hour down the freeway. At one point, he got the traffic stopped both directions. He got on the freeway sideways, pulled in the side on the freeway like this. We're coming down the freeway like this. And he's waiting for us to come so he can ram us from the side. We stop, traffic stop, both directions. He gets out of his van. He starts running for the van. One of the girls yells, he's got a gun, he's got a gun. And so I'm like, what should I do? So I wait till he gets right to the van, as close as I can. He's running, of course, on foot. And I take off, and he runs for his truck. He jumps in his truck, and he tries to ram us from the side. The whole time, the Lord says, there'll be no loss of life. Everything will be fine.
The children must have been hysterical.
They were going nuts. One kid, he tried to jump out the window of the van. He opened the window, and he's trying to jump out the window. Two of the other boys grabbed him, held him down. So he's on the floor for a half an hour, two boys holding him, screaming, he's going to kill us, he's going to kill us. My wife's got the window down. She's yelling, this man's trying to kill us, yelling at anyone who will listen. So we're going down the road. He's trying to ram us from the side. And when he comes up to the over the freeway, gets caught in a ditch when he tried to ram us. So we just went as fast as we could. He got up behind us. He tried to hit us from behind for sight. Never hit us one time. This whole chase lasted 45 minutes.
Hold that thought. We're going to be right back after this. This maniac came after him. I mean, it's not supposed to happen except in the movies, but he did. And when you find out what happened, you'll be amazed too. We'll be right back after this. Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, and let's go to Janie in the control room and find out who's on next week. Janie, who do we have?
Sid, you'll be speaking to different people who have seen angels in all kinds of circumstances. One angel actually brought a woman a new heart, and then a woman saw a whole bunch of angels supernaturally protect her house in a tornado. It's just really incredible, and I'm also going to tell you about my angel story next week.
Looking forward to it. Chris, you sure could have used an angel. I mean, you're running down the freeway. It's maniac is chasing you. You're in a van with, eight children?
Yes.
And he's trying to ram you. He wasn't successful. But now you're, were you stuck in traffic or?
No, traffic stopped both directions. For a mile both directions, traffic was dead stopped on Highway 5. We passed a highway patrolman. He had somebody pulled over, and my wife yelled out the window, this man's trying to kill us. This man's kind of trying to kill us. So we pulled into the center lane, tried to stay close to the highway patrolman, and he's trying to figure out what to do. And we're driving back and forth in the center lane, and this guy comes in the center lane and tries to ram us right in front of the highway patrolman in the center lane. He finally, it's starting to get dusk, and I'm driving back and forth. He jumps out of his truck, and I'm losing sight of him, like, where did he go? Where did he go? And I don't want to leave the highway patrolman, so I don't want to drive off. So I'm just driving back and forth in the center lane in the dirt like this. And all of a sudden, one of the girls yells, he's coming through the back window. And he had reached his hand back in the back window and popped the door open, and he was coming in the back window. And I could see him standing on the bumper. So I took off. I gave him the ride of his life. When we're driving back and forth, just back and forth like this, he finally falls off the back. One of the girls says, he fell off the back. So a minute later, I hear one of the boys yelling, he's got the side door open. Now, why the doors got unlocked, I guess from all the nervousness. He's coming inside when the side door. So we gave him another ride, and just about, he falls off the side of the van. Pretty soon, I hear a cop saying, stop or I'll shoot. And I go, all right, he's got him. He's got him.
Right. You're safe.
Yeah, so I'm like, where is he, though? Where is he? So he says, stop or I'll shoot. A second later, the gun's in my face, and he's
talking to me. Why?
Because when my wife yelled out the window, this man's trying to kill me, he runs across the street, and the guy who's trying to kill us says, they have my daughter. He kidnapped my daughter.
The one that's chasing you, that's a maniac.
It's a maniac.
So he has his gun in your head.
He's gonna kill me. So I don't know any of this. So I'm still trying to drive back and forth, trying to make sure that he's got the guy. I come to a complete stop. He's got the gun right in my face, and he says, "Get out of the van right now, and I'll blow your head off." So I just undo my seatbelt, and as soon as I open the door, he grabs me, throws me on the ground, cuffs me, drags me around the van, and he's got the other guy cuffed there too. And come to find out, you know, the story I just told you, he thought that I was the guy.
Right.
The next morning, this was on a Saturday, coming home on Saturday. The next morning, the highway patrolman calls me, 6 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning.
He had realized and he arrested the maniac,
He
not
arrested
you,
the maniac.
But
they
he
hauled
calls
him
you
away,
the next morning.
Calls me the next morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, and he said, Mr. Valentin, this is the highway patrol, gave me his name. I said, yeah. He goes, are you okay? I said, oh, yeah, I'm doing great. And he said, let me tell you something. He said, when your wife was yelling out the window, I thought you kidnapped him. And when you didn't stop, of course, I didn't stop because I thought he was talking to him, of course. He said, I squeezed the trigger on that gun. And I was going to, he said, first time in 17 years I ever squeezed the trigger on anyone. He says, I squeezed the trigger on that gun. And right before the gun went off, he said, I heard a voice say, something's wrong here. Don't shoot that man. And he says, I've been trembling all night. He said, I almost killed an innocent man. He was weeping on the phone. I said, let me tell you a little story. I said, before this chase started, the Lord Jesus, I'm a Christian, the Lord Jesus told me there will be no loss of life and no one be harmed in this. I said, you could have pulled that trigger and you would have not shot me.
But the point of the matter is that he would have pulled that trigger if he didn't hear a voice say, don't do that. You know, God has more control over our earth and over us than we realize. But there are many that are watching us right now, and you're harassed by fear. I know you are.
That's right.
And you don't even know where to turn. Chris, tell them what they can do.
You know what? The first thing you need to do is receive Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus Christ, the Bible says you are under the power of the devil. And for you, that's not an illusion. But it is reality. But when you receive Jesus Christ, he comes into your life, and the Bible says, greater is he that's in us, Sid, than he that's in the world. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. What we need to do when we receive Christ and we start having these things happen to us, we need to realize that we are in a battle. Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of God, putting a helmet of salvation on. And we need to war against those things and realize those thoughts are not our thoughts. That's why 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal.
Question.
Yes.
Do you have fear? Did you have fear when this maniac was going after you? No.
No.
A guy that shook for all those years?
The Lord Jesus healed me.
Do you know what? God wants to heal you right now. First, ask God to forgive you because you're a sinner, and ask that the blood of Jesus wash away your sins. Then ask Jesus to come inside of you and become your Lord. And I command in the name of Jesus and the authority that he's given me that the spirit of fear would leave you right now. Spirit of rejection, I command you to leave in Jesus' name. Shalom, peace of God.
That's right.
The peace of God. I surround you with the shalom and the peace of God. That's God's peace that you're experiencing right now. There is nothing separating you from the love of God. This is your moment in history. Go all the way with God. He's letting you experience his love right now. Why? Because you're very important to him.
That's right.
Why? Because he loves you. Why? Because this is your moment to know him. Not to just believe in him, but to know him. Get a little excited.